people. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Alain for doing a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of introducing the problem. So I'm going to present some experimental results and maybe a little more theory to validate a number of the different ideas that you've just heard about, and maybe introduce a slightly new idea and some very preliminary data to support that idea. And you've already seen this figure of normal rhythm degenerating into ventricular tachycardia and fibrillation, and the fact that this can be thought of as a problem in wave propagation, such that the normal planar wave encounters some obstacle. That obstacle can be anatomical or functional. And we have wave break with the formation of an eddy or a spiral that subsequently degenerates into multiple wavelets. And we've done a fair amount of work on this transition. I'm not going to talk about that today. What I want to concentrate on is this transition from the planar wave to the spiral wave, and in particular, what induces the conduction block that causes that transition. And you've also seen this picture in a slightly different format, whereas if you pace a piece of cardiac tissue at some fixed cycle length, you have a given duration followed by a diastolic interval, and you can express the duration of this action potential as some function of the previous diastolic interval. And again, that's the simplest way to look at it, and a little bit later on we'll look at it a little more complicated way. And again, dynamics 101, if the restitution relation has a slope that's less than 1 everywhere, then this intersection of a basic cycle length and the function is a stable fixed point. On the other hand, if the slope is somewhere greater than or equal to 1, this fixed point is unstable, and instead we have this alternating behavior of long action potential going to short, going to long, and in the cardiac parlance this is alternans. And I'm going to use this kind of diagram later on to explain some what I think are simple dynamics that explain in turn some experimental results. So you've already heard about alternans and the fact that it can be concordant and discordant. And we got interested in this problem based on the experimental results of Pastore and Rosenbaum, and then we got more interested in it after Alain's group and Alan's group produced some computer modeling where they looked at homogeneous one-dimensional cables, and they found that you could have discordant alternans in that scenario, whereas Rosenbaum had attributed the alternans that he saw experimentally to intrinsic heterogeneities. And so our job was to find something in the heart that approximated a homogeneous one-dimensional cable, and that's hard to do, but there is something that's close, and that's a cardiac Purkinje fiber. So these are unbranched, specialized conducting fibers. They're relatively homogeneous. They're obviously not one-dimensional, but functionally they behave as though they're quasi-one-dimensional. And if you pace one of these fibers at one end and record with microelectrodes from different places along the fiber, you can demonstrate the following behavior, and that is, if you pace it a sufficiently short cycle length, you have an alternans with long followed by short, where all the short action potentials are going to be in red, and you can see that at this particular time, at this particular cycle length, all the cells are doing more or less the same thing, long followed by short. So this is concordant alternans. However, if you continue to pace this preparation at the same cycle length, the dynamics evolves. And you'll see that after some period of time, now this most distal site has flipped phase. So instead of being long-short, it's short-long. And site 3, it's a little more difficult to tell which is the long one, which is the short one, despite the fact that the site of stimulation we still have long-short. So this is discordant alternans, and the region of long-short is separated from the region of short-long by a node where the action potential durations are the same. And this node migrates in the experiments normally towards the site of stimulation, such that at this time now site 3 has flipped and there's some ambiguity in terms of which action potential duration is longer at site 2. It eventually flips, and in this experiment the node eventually goes all the way to the site of stimulation. All right, so we've evolved then from concordant alternans to discordant alternans, and in this case back to concordant alternans. However, if you pace at a slightly shorter cycle length, you get a different behavior, or an additional behavior, and that's the development of conduction block. So this is the same type of scenario that I showed you on the previous slide. We're pacing at this end of the fiber and recording from 4 sites. At this particular time, we have short, long at this site, but long, short at the distal site. So this is discordant alternans.
Question?
Yes?
The stimulation is short, long, or the stimulation
No, the stimulation is a constant cycle length. Okay. You notice that the short action potential gets shorter and shorter until it disappears altogether. So that by the end of this period of time, Now, at the site of stimulation, we have short long. At the next site, we have long short, so that's a discordant alternance. But at this site, we have 2-to-1 conduction block. So there's an action potential only for every other stimulus. So again, in this functionally one-dimensional, nearly homogeneous cable, we have some very heterogeneous dynamics. Short long, long short, 2-to-1 block, all arising dynamically as a result of a steep restitution of action potential duration, and also as a result of conduction velocity restitution. Now, if you push this a little harder, you get some additional behaviors that, frankly, we don't completely understand. So if anybody wants to explain this to me later on, I'd appreciate it. But here we start where the last record left off, which was 2-to-1 block. So we have short, long, long, short, 2-to-1 block. But then you'll see there's this reinitiation of propagation and then eventually restoration of 2-to-1 block. So we call this paroxysmal conduction block. So the conduction block is interrupted by this higher order periodic, aperiodic behavior we don't really know. It's suggestive of a spatial bifurcation, but we haven't been able to prove that yet. So that's only 4 recordings along a fiber. We wanted to make sure that we were connecting the dots properly. So we also looked at this behavior using a one-dimensional computer model, but each cell being made up of a rather detailed ionic model. And so we're going to stimulate the computer model at this end and record action potentials over time. So again, the cycle length of stimulation is such that we have long, short, long, short, long, short. And as this movie starts, we have concordant alternance, such that the distal end of the fiber is doing more or less the same thing as the proximal end. However, if you continue to paste the computer model, as we did the experiment, you can see that there's this evolution such that now the long action potential becomes short, and the short action potential becomes long, and we have discordant alternance. And if you continue to paste it, not that one, this one, now we start with discordant alternans, and we have an evolution to 2-to-1 conduction block. So again, this site is short long, this one is long short, and this one is nothing long. And we also get this other more bizarre behavior of the paroxysms, where we start with 2-to-1 conduction block, and then after some period of time, you can see this wave of propagation moving through, and then restoration of 2-to-1 conduction block. So presumably then, if this is happening in a real heart, one would be generating very steep gradients of repolarization based entirely on the intrinsic dynamical properties of the tissue, ignoring the intrinsic heterogeneities that we know are there, we haven't accounted for yet. Okay, so where is this coming from? The ionic model is a difficult model to use to try to identify underlying mechanisms since it's so complicated. So we resorted to a much simpler model, so-called coupled maps lattice model. And this again is the same sort of thing that I showed you earlier, other than now we're having to deal with a propagating wave front in one dimension. So we need to keep track of what's going on with the conduction velocities. And as Alain has already told you, conduction velocity also has a restitution of the same form as APD restitution. So we keep track of that. And what this model does, I'm not going to show you the simulations from it because I don't have time today, but what it does is to allow you to identify at least a dynamical mechanism. It's a very simple mechanism, and it's the following. If you look at the behavior in this coupled maps model, this is cell number from 1 to 150, and this is the duration of successive action potentials. So the first action potential starts long at this end of the fiber and becomes shorter as it goes to the other end. The next action potential starts short and becomes longer. So this is discordant alternans, and these regions are separated by a node. So why is this happening, and what's going on at different places along the fiber? Well, if you look at the site of stimulation, which is cell 1, the behavior is very straightforward. Here we have the restitution relation for action potential duration, and this is our pacing cycle length, which in this case is 220 milliseconds. And we simply have this alternance from long, short, long, short. However, as you move out along the fiber, as you've already heard, the conduction velocity is going to change, such that the short action potential will be conducting slowly, and the long action potential will be conducting rapidly. So at this point on the fiber, the local period is not what we're driving the fiber at, but instead is an alternans of period, first long and then short. And the pattern of iteration here is that the long action potential duration iterates to the long cycle length. and the short action potential iterates to the short cycle length, and this has the effect of compressing the magnitude of the APD alternans. So the alternans magnitude here is less than it was here, and I think you can envision that if you continue to move out and these alternans continue to increase, then eventually you lose the alternans altogether. And as you emerge on the right side of the node, the pattern of alteration switches, the pattern of iteration switches, such that now the long action potential, instead of iterating to the long cycle length, iterates to the short cycle length. And the short action potential iterates to the long cycle length, and this has the effect of amplifying the alternans. And it's hard to see here, but the magnitude of the alternans on the, to the right of the node is larger than that on the left. And this provides a physiological mechanism because of electrotonic or diffusive currents to drive this node towards the site of stimulation. It also has an additional implication when you shorten the cycle length further, and that's the following. Here we shorten the cycle length to 202 milliseconds. Now this long action potential duration, by virtue of the fact that it iterates to this short cycle length, iterates to a diastolic interval for which there is no duration. In other words, we're into the refractory period at this point. So this then is the mechanism for the block. As the node continues to move towards the site of stimulation, then the alternans at this particular site decreases, and that means now that this long action potential can iterate to a diastolic interval for which there is an action potential, and this is at least part of the mechanism for the restoration of the conduction. When you had 2-to-1 block and then you lose it for a while, and that's related to migration of this node. Okay, and this is what you just heard about, and as Alain said, we were talking about this in Aspen, and I've been working with a fellow, Dave Christini, at the medical school in New York at Weill, and he's interested in control of dynamics, and so are we. And we've done some control of low-dimensional chaos in models, and we tried to implement this in real tissue and ran into some problems. We found out that the theory wasn't very good, and so we stopped doing it. But we decided that maybe it would be easier to control alternans than it would be to control chaos, and so we should take a step back. And we received the rather unfortunate news from Alain that if you tried to do that, it wasn't going to work, because if you have a fiber in which you have an alternans and then you initiate your control algorithm, you're only going to control at the site of delivery of the control stimuli. You have this convective instability that leads to lack of control down the fiber. So we thought we had an appropriate experimental system to test this idea, and so we did, of course secretly hoping that Alain was wrong, but that wasn't the case. This is the, well, let me back up a second. Again, the control algorithm is very simple. You simply measure consecutive action potential durations, take their difference, and then multiply it by some gain in order to get a new cycle length that differs slightly from the cycle length, the ordinarily constant cycle length of pacing. And so all this requires experimentally is that you, in real time, measure these durations and their intervals, and then feed this to the algorithm, which tells you which cycle length you should next deliver to the preparation. And this works quite well. Here we have, again, a dog Purkinje fiber. Now we're up to 6 impalements. And by the way, this is hard to do, so this is the proverbial frogs in a wheelbarrow kind of thing. But it is possible, and when you are successful, you see this pattern of long action potential followed by short, long followed by short for successive action potentials all the way down the fiber. All right, so at this particular pacing cycle length, we have concordant APD alternans. At this point, we push the button and turn the control algorithm on. It takes a little while to figure out what's happening, and then it does a pretty good job of controlling the alternans near the site of stimulation. However, as you look further from the site of stimulation, two things are happening. Number one is you're not controlling. We still have an alternans here. And in fact, the alternans has flipped phase. So instead of being long followed by short, we now have short followed by long. So we have controlled the alternans in one place, but we've actually created a discordance in alternans elsewhere. In addition, and I'm not going to have anything significant to say about this, after you turn the control off, you begin to go back to where you were at the site of stimulation, but there's some memory in the system such that you have a persistence of this discordant alternance. And that's something that we don't entirely understand.
You mean that place where you have it, no alternance, can you move that around?
Yes. So the question is, can we move the site of stimulation or the site of control? And the answer is yes.
No, that wasn't my question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Controlling always where up there.
Okay.
Can you move the place where the alternate, the thing that's at 3?
Yes.
Here. Can you move that down to 6?
No. We can move it. We can't move it that far. And I don't have... Well, I presume, again, because of this resonance, so that because of the diffusion is restricted to a certain space, certain length constant. So if we are at shorter length than that, we can't control. I mean, sorry, if the fiber is at longer length than that, we can't control.
So you could increase diffusion.
I'm sorry, I've heard.
You could, by some medication, by some chemistry, increase diffusion, then you could spread it out.
Yes. There are two ways to do it. One is you could increase diffusion. The other is that you could flatten the restitution relation so that the restitution isn't as steeply dependent on diastolic interval. And there's nothing that I know of that increases diffusion. We could do the opposite experiment. Okay, so these are just some additional results from this kind of experiment. Comparison between the experiment and what you saw with respect to the predictions. I won't bother you with the actual waveforms unless you want me to, but the basic idea here is that if you look at along the length of the fiber from recording electrode 1 out to 6, and we're stimulating at 1, here at this particular cycle length we have an alternans, long action potential followed by short. We initiate control, does a pretty good job here, but again there's this lack of control as you move out further on the fiber in an analogous fashion to what was predicted here. If, however, you start with the discordant alternans such that the long one gets shorter and the short one gets longer, intersecting at the node, and now you initiate control, you can see that you don't have control number 1 and that you've converted the discordant alternans to concordant alternans, again, in agreement with the theory. And maybe this isn't such a bad thing. Now, the silver lining here for people who want to believe that control might be, a control of alternans might be an avenue to controlling dynamics is that if the alternans are small and if the fiber is short, then you can control it. So if you had enough sites and you anticipated the development of the alternans appropriately, this sort of idea might still work. And I'm going to skip that. All right, so let me introduce another way of looking at this same problem. And what I've shown you so far is that if you pace a piece of cardiac tissue at high frequency for a long period of time, you have this evolution of dynamics from concordant alternans to discordant alternans to block. And presumably, if the block was local, that would initiate a reentrant excitation. But that's not the way people develop ventricular tachycardia. They develop ventricular tachycardia by having a normal rhythm that is interrupted by several premature stimuli, not by long periods of pacing at high frequency. But we think that the mechanism that we observed in the experiments I've just shown you apply to this situation as well. And here's an example from the Ionic model where we've been pacing at a cycle length of about exactly 1,000 milliseconds. And this is the last action potential in a train of 50 of action potentials at this cycle length. And then we introduce a second stimulus at a short coupling interval such that the diastolic interval is short. So that means that the duration of this action potential will be short. It also means that it will conduct slowly. And you can tell that it's doing that because the duration of all these action potentials is the same. And the diastolic interval now is increasing because of this slow conduction. If the diastolic interval increases, then the next action potential duration will be long, which it is. So we go from short action potential duration to long action potential duration. If we then wait a little bit and deliver an S3, a third stimulus, because of the longer diastolic interval, we have a longer action potential duration. But this action potential now, by virtue of the longer diastolic interval, conducts rapidly, and it encroaches then on the diastolic interval in the wake of this previous action potential. So shorter interval means shorter action potential duration. And again, if we introduce an S4 that's closely coupled, we amplify the spatial dispersion of repolarization such that if we now deliver an S5 stimulus at the appropriate time, it not only encroaches on but actually runs into the refractory period of the previous wave, and we have conduction block. So this same behavior of long going to short, short going to long, can set up these oscillations of refractoriness that lead to spatial dispersion, such that we now have conduction block. And we've looked at this in a simple model as well. I'm sorry, Al?
And finally,
okay. So we've looked at this in a simple model. Not so simple, has memory. And what I'll tell you is that there are, thanks to Jeff Fox's calculation, 67,000 combinations of these intervals that will produce block, but they're not randomly distributed. They do show a certain periodicity, not a periodicity, but they show a certain pattern. And if you take a real dog and you paste them at one of the patterns predicted by the model, you find that every time you do that, the dog fibrillates. And if you pick patterns out here that aren't predicted to produce block, you don't fibrillate the dog. So let me just end then by acknowledging people that you already know. And Jeff Fox, who's done most of the modeling. Dave Christini's been doing the control with me. And then the whole dog experiments. And engineer Mark Riccio. Thank you. Yeah. I found another one, Alain, but you look much too old.
So can either you or Alain comment on this story in two dimensions with concordant versus discordant alternants? If you pace at a point in 2D, what happens? Do you get a circle? Do you get a more complicated structure of where you change from phase of the pattern? What's the story there? I mean,
well, this generic question.
Yeah, the story in 2D is more complex, of course, because if you go to real tissue, then you have to deal with these intrinsic heterogeneities. So all the cells don't have the same action potential duration. And that's what led Rosenbaum to hypothesize that his discordant alternans, which was in 2D, was created by the intrinsic heterogeneities, because he didn't see any alternation in conduction velocities. But the problem was that, as Alain pointed out, the alternans in conduction velocity are very small, and it'd be difficult to pick up experimentally. Plus, it's out of phase with the alternans in APD. So the action potential durations show the biggest alternans where there's the smallest amount of conduction velocity alternans, and the biggest conduction velocity alternans is at the node. So any self-respecting experimentalist would look for conduction alternans where there's APD alternans, and that's not the place to look for it, and they didn't look in the right place.
Alain, you're speaking directly
to me? Let me just add to what Bob said from a theoretical standpoint. So from a theory prediction, if you were to take an infinite tissue and paste from a single side, a very large tissue where boundary effects, two-dimensional, where boundary effects are not important, then when the block is going to occur, it's going to occur everywhere at the same time, okay? So because it still preserves the symmetry. But if you have any boundaries, the line defect, okay, the phase kink, likes to come normal to the boundaries. So this will break the symmetry, and so you will get a localized conduction block. So if you take a piece of square tissue like this and paste from the lower left corner, you get concentric wave. This is your wave front. But the line defect is actually has the opposite curvature because it likes to be normal to the boundaries. And since you always have boundaries in the heart, you will always have line defects which have a symmetry such that you will get localized conduction block. So from a dynamic standpoint, you get localized conduction block for alternates in two and, you know, three dimensions. Of course, in the real heart, you also have the intrinsic heterogeneities that we'll hear about in the next talk. They're also important.
Yeah. Quickly, because I think we got to move on.
I'd just like to make an additional comment on that. In two-dimensional space, of course, you can have a spiral core, which can act as a, you know, pacing locally. But as we have seen in the experiments and many different model simulations, that the spiral core can undergo very complex dynamics itself. So in that case, I mean, that leads us to consider problems that, you know, pacing can be not only periodic, but it can be very aperiodic itself. So that question we haven't addressed that much. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we have to move on. I just want to add that our group in 1999 paced whole pig heart with a sock electrode over it and absolutely found a transition from concordant to discordant alternans. The discordant alternans always happened far away from the pacing site, although we never thought to calculate what the distance was. And it was precisely when you had the discordant alternans, just as Alan said, when you went to the spatially discordant alternans, that creates current flow, that creates reentry, and that creates VF. So this has actually been more or less reproduced in whole heart.
Okay.